Good morning and welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church's Sunday morning worship service. A real welcome to you, wherever you are watching from this morning. We hope that this service is encouraging and a service which will inspire you in your daily lives. This morning's service is a special celebration because Gideon and Hannah, who have been Cornerstone's first interns, are finishing their internship. And so we are celebrating the things which God has done in their lives and what they have brought to the church. Throughout our service, we'll have stories from them. We'll have some reflections back and some pictures of their time over the year. We'll have probably the most creative prayer I've yet seen. So watch out for that, and for the young man involved in leading us in prayer. Our theme is Adventures with Jesus. And we're looking at the scripture in Matthew, where Jesus goes to the fishermen and says, "Come, follow me." And they do. They leave their boats and follow him on the adventure that he takes them on. No doubt in that adventure there was much stretching and challenging times, much head scratching at times. But one thing for sure is that those disciples were not disappointed. They had life and life in the full. Hannah and Gid, too, answered a call which they felt on their hearts to come and serve for a year. And I hope we will find that they, too, at the end of this year, have been stretched and challenged. But don't feel disappointed. I'm sure that's the case from what I've talked to them about. We're going to open in worship with a song which Gid has chosen. It's Good, Good Father. And it makes me think of a scripture in 1 John where John writes these words: "How great is the love of God that he has lavished on us, that we should be called his children." And that is what we are, his children. He's called us first and foremost to be in his family. So let us raise our voices as we sing two songs together.
Searching for rest. Thank you. are good.
This next section of the service is a slot where we really think about Hannah and Gideon and draw out some of the blessings of that year, both to them, to us, and to those that they've served. We're going to hear interviews, we're going to see a song, watch out in our song. Please join in for some familiar faces, young and older. And so those who can move with the music and those who can't. We've got an amazing prayer, which I hope will encourage and inspire. And some pictures. So I'm going to hand over to, well, me and Hannah for the first interview. So in our story today, the disciples, they just left their jobs, their fishing boats, and they followed Jesus. You in some way have done something similar in taking an internship. What was it that just made you decide to be an intern at Cornerstone?
Yeah, so a year ago, I was, or just over a year ago, I was finishing my degree in primary education, which means that I was a qualified teacher. And instead of going into teaching, I really felt that God was calling me into something else, and potentially ministry. And so after some conversations with Duncan and some other people, I made the decision to spend a year here at Cornerstone working as an intern to really pursue and test whether or not ministry was the thing for me in the future.
And one of our values here is being adventurous. How has this year been an adventure for you?
Yeah, well, this year has been unexpected. There has been a lot of things that I wouldn't have done if I'd have continued teaching. And it's been full of lots of... Oh, what was the word that I was going to use?
Unpredictability.
So for instance, a lot of my friends who are teachers, while they were getting their classrooms ready for their new children, I was getting ready for a prayer room and building the prayer room at Headingley with the help of Gideon and lots of other willing volunteers. Then when some of my classmates, some of my teacher friends were getting to know their class and the children in their class, I had a whole new gathering and church to get to know. So I went to Connect and I had to learn lots of new names and new faces. I got to meet all the wonderful people that I would be working alongside with. And then when some of my teacher friends were maybe sorting a school trip, Gid and I got to go to Belfast and have a lot of fun learning more about God's word and finding lots of things that were going to help fuel us for the rest of our year. It was a lot of fun.
And following Jesus this year, what has Jesus shown you that maybe has surprised you? What's he taught you?
Yeah, so when I was coming into this internship, I remember having a distinct conversation with Peter, Nathan and Duncan saying, I don't want to do children's work. I've just done 5 years of teaching and I don't think it's for me. I want to explore some other things. God had a different plan for me this year. And actually what I've found I've enjoyed the most and what I've done a lot of is children's work. Whether that's been Hub Club on a Thursday afternoon in Bramley or going to Soul Survivor with the Headingley lot. It's been a lot of fun working and getting to know all of our young people across our three sites.
Yeah, and so what are you going to do next?
Yeah, so I've had a bit of a Jonah moment. I've tried to go off to Tarshish and run away from children, and God is bringing me back, and I'm going to continue on this internship for another 3 to 6 months. but now with a focus on children's.
And having, in a sense, answered Jesus' call to follow him, what would you say to people who are listening who have got a sense of God asking them to follow him in a new way at this moment?
Yeah, I would say listen to God, pray, hear what he is trying to say to you, but then say yes. Pete Gregg, who's someone I talk about a lot, talks about the little yeses in life and the adventure and the journey that you might go on by saying yes to God. And that's exactly what Geird and I have done this year. We've said yes, and we've had an awesome, fantastic year. So I would urge anyone who thinks that God might be calling them to.
And so God's been faithful to you this year. It's been unpredictable, but God has been with you. And we're going to sing a song, aren't we, with Actions?
Oh, yeah.
That's called All Through History. And you might recognise some people on this video.
Noah built the most enormous boat that kept the birds and animals afloat. The Lord was good, the Lord was strong, and Noah lived his life for him.
I hope you enjoy it. Well, this time last year you just graduated in finance and business, and I don't think you would have imagined being part of such a song, would you?
No.
What was it that made you throw yourself into an internship at Cornerstone?
Yeah. That definitely wasn't the plan when I started university. It wasn't the plan to go down an internship route because I wasn't a Christian. I became a Christian midway into my university life, and I think I realised when a few people had spoken to me and then Peter spoke to me about becoming an intern, I realised this was the first opportunity that I had to be able to go, this is for God, this is something that is big, it's something that I can do, and it's something that I know it doesn't necessarily benefit me in terms of looking at finances and various things, but it benefits me spiritually, and I get to see what my church can really be in a bigger picture. So that's why I decided to do it.
And I think working at Cornerstone has been really a rich experience, hasn't it? You've talked a lot about things which have impressed you about working as part of the team. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I think the one thing I realised straight away was that you're not coming in when joining an internship. You're not coming in as an outsider who just happens to be there. The team especially and the leadership teams, they're a bit of a family. And I think there were points throughout the year that were really tough, especially with a big pandemic that like we are still currently in, unfortunately. But I realised that we could come together and make the best of a bad situation. I noticed it with all the pastoral things that we're trying to do currently, as well as the online services. People came together to try and make the best of a terrible situation. And I am really proud to say that I was involved in that and that our church managed to make the most of that situation.
And as a church, we're involved in lots and lots of things. Mm. Right at the beginning, really, of the year, you talked about a real highlight when you went away with the youth.
Yeah, everyone by now will have heard of Soul Survivor. And rightly so, because it is a place where it changes a lot of people's lives. It changed my life the year before. I really was moved by the fact that God was speaking to so many of the youth at Soul Survivor. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do much as I had my leg in a cast and really wasn't feeling well that week. But I realised just the conversations I had with the youth and the opportunities that they had to just listen to God, whether it was in the services in the evening or the different talks throughout the day, it moved so many of them. And that was a huge highlight of the year.
So it was great seeing young people encountering God.
Mm.
What about for you? In what way has God stretched you this year?
I think the song previously would tell you most about that. I like to say I'm daft, but I'm daft off camera, is how I would put it. When it comes to public things, I generally don't like being silly. And I, especially through this pandemic, have had opportunities to do videos, do Zoom into church, and then, as you've just seen, my terrible dad dancing. And I think that's really stretched me. I've realised that I don't need to hide the joy that I find in doing kids' work. I don't need to hide the joy I find in God. And this is something that I've learned to really embrace. And I'm coming off the end of this year really enjoying doing all the silly things, but on camera as well.
Dad dancing for Jesus.
Dad dancing for Jesus.
It's the way to go, isn't it? It's the way to go. And finally, for anyone who might think of doing an internship in the future, we're not doing one this next year, but hopefully the year after, what would you say to them?
I think I'll keep it short. I think there's an easy answer, essentially, is listen to God. That is the main thing. And then just hear what he says. And if you feel like you can really embrace interning, and I will tell you, the church will open their arms for you. They will, everyone will embrace you and bring you in. So don't ever feel hesitation on the church end. Just make sure that it's the right move for you, and you will absolutely love it.
Well, thank you. And I know for Nathan, for me, for Peter and for Matt, who've involved in different bits of management. It's been an absolute privilege to have you and Hannah. One other person for whom this year has been a privilege has been Kate. Kate has loved having you, and she's going to say a few things now about your year as interns at Cornerstone.
We love you, Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate, and Hannah and Gideon have given me the great honour of talking through their internship from this last year. So I've taken lots of photos throughout this year because I'm a bit of a teen mum and I can't stop taking photos of them. So I've decided that we should have the internship 2019-2020 in pictures. I hope you enjoy it. Our new enthusiastic interns' first action outside of their regular church activities was to attend the 24/7 prayer conference, thus setting the tone for a focus on prayer throughout their year with us. I found this so encouraging, and it's definitely worth asking Hannah about how excited she was for this selfie with Pete Gregg. This is a bit of poetic license, as Gids wasn't baptised during his internship, but slightly before. But it was so significant for him and informing the choice to give up a year of his life to serve his church, so I felt it deserved a mention. Attending Hannah's baptism at Crag during her internship was such an honour. Hearing her profession of faith and commitment was inspiring indeed. The prayer room at Headingley, Hannah and Gideon made this a reality. They planned the work and recruited a fair few volunteers to get involved, which was a great way of them getting to know people across the church. It was a bit of a dash to the finish line, to say the least, but we got there, and I have many photos and funny memories from this, including the evening where one very keen volunteer had to be encouraged to leave the premises as they were lone working whilst painting from a height in their socks at gone midnight with an electric heater on. Honesty Over Silence was a really interesting event, which brought together the interns from Cornerstone and the intern from Mosaic, as well as a partnership from St George's too. They already had a relationship with those attending School of Theology together, and we really couldn't have got the event off the ground without their support. It was an evening event, and during the day we'd all attended the Ecclesia Church Leaders Conference. Christmas was filled with exciting outreach events and pastoral opportunities, with Christmas Friday lunch, Carols in the Courtyard, Horsforth Churches Together event, and others. Hannah, I will never forget Lucy and other young children's reaction to the donkey in the manger, as she desperately tried to convince him to eat countless carrots. I just couldn't tear her away. It was such an amazing feeling to join with everyone in that freezing cold, muddy park and see the lights and music, yet to be met with such warmth and love. I'm glad you were part of that. So, let's talk about internship during lockdown. For context, the lockdown happened a matter of days after the mega busy Honesty Over Silence Ecclesia Week. The ministry team was pragmatic, but sadly reduced in numbers due to the furlough scheme, as most of you will know. So this was not an easy time for anyone, including our interns. But I'm so proud of how they adapt and helped us all to adapt, in fact, with them through Zoom into church, allegedly for the children, but enjoyed by many, not least for the constant smiling and laughing, and because we're all secretly hoping that Hannah will win some more challenges. The ministry team meetings and goodbye presents from Jeff when he left, and the famous Katesy line of mine, "Can you just help me with something?" that always turns out to be more than they bargained for. They met with great joy and really very brave. I have just two last things to say to you, Hannah and Gideon. Number one, try to retain your up for anything, can do nature, no matter how hard things can sometimes be. You have breathed life into our work here, and I hope we have never dismissed or undervalued your input. Lucy, as you can see, is a reminder that I am ready to be replaced at any moment should I fail to learn from a fresh perspective. Secondly, and don't tell Peter that I was so kind about him, because He won't let me forget it. But always be prepared to do what he is doing in this photo. Go to the least loved place. Least loved places where no one else fancies going and do something that only God knows you've done. It is really very rewarding. Whether you're doing more church work or out in the big world stuff, God is with you and he sees you and he is pleased. What an incredible year. We thank God for sending us Hannah and Gideon. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the powerful way in which Gideon's nurturing within your church family has borne fruit with Gideon's wholehearted acceptance of your gift of eternal life in your presence. We thank you for Gideon's faith in stepping out to experience new things as an intern this last year. We thank you for Gideon's obvious care and compassion for people of all ages and his understanding that what grows your church is the relationships which we develop with each other. We ask that over the coming year, Gideon will continue to know your guidance and your peace so that he continues to enjoy life and he finds the right balance between his career, his family and friends, and time with you and your church. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for Gideon, for the joy and enthusiasm he brings. We want to thank you as a church for his time with us as an intern, for all that he has learnt about you, your word and your people, for his passion for you and his passion for sharing your gospel and your way with children and young people, for the way that he has impacted so many over the last year. Thank you for his insight and wisdom when dealing with people, for the blessing and encouragement he has been to those he has worked alongside. We pray for him as he moves into the next phase of his life, for his new job that starts next week. Bless him as he meets new people, learns new skills and new routines. Give him your grace to deal with people the way you would, and make him a light in his new team. Give him wisdom to speak up for you when he should. Bless him greatly, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for Hannah. Thank you, Lord, for her joy. Thank you that she is always singing and making music in her heart to you. Thank you that Hannah is super. Thank you that Hannah is fun. Thank you, Lord, for her many gifts and in leading others to you, talking and teaching about Jesus in her words and actions. Please help her to have a really cool adventures. Help her not to be scared, and if she is, we pray you would know you are with her. May Hannah know that she is a jewel in your sight. We pray you would provide all her needs. We pray you would help Hannah learn to drive, pass her driving test. And you would give her all the sustenance she needs. We pray that you would guide Hannah in the work you have for her to do, and keep her following you in all the adventures of life. Give her friends to journey with and lots of tea. We pray that you would help her follow you, Lord Jesus, and be a disciplined disciple and lead other people to you. Lord, Lord, we pray you would equip her with everything she needs and help her never to forget your full armour. Fighting with the sword of the Spirit. And keeping her connection with you in strong prayer. We pray Hannah would know there are no limits with you, Lord. And there is always hope because you are our Lord and Saviour, and we will never live forever with you. Lord, bless Hannah and keep her. Make your face shine upon her and give her peace. Amen.
So today's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 25. And I thought maybe in honour of Hannah and Gid, the first person to find this Bible verse in their Bibles, take a photo and put it on a Facebook live chat, surely should get a prize this morning. Here we go. Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfil what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralysed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
Well, it's a great privilege to be able to speak today. Part of the deal for today was that the interns would choose a Bible text for me to speak on. I must confess, I was expecting something incredibly obscure and incredibly difficult, and I was surprised and delighted to be presented with Matthew 4, and especially the call of Jesus in verse 19, "Come and follow me." So exciting and wonderful, and it's great to reflect on this together. And I think we see, first of all, that it's a call to radical root and branch commitment to Jesus. He's walking along and he says, "Come, follow me." And straight away, these guys get up, they leave their fishing nets, they leave their fishing business, and they follow Jesus. the Greek word that's in here twice, euthus, immediately, is one that is associated with radical commitment. And this is what we see here. I want to say more than this today, but I do want to just highlight, I guess, what's obvious here, but just so that we can't ignore it, that this is full on 100% commitment. And in particular, it's giving control to Jesus. There's an old British Gas advert that was on TV, I suspect, long before our interns were born. And the strapline to the advert that some of you may remember, "Don't you just love being in control?" And we do. We want to be in control as people. And Jesus says, "No, I want to be in control." Eugene Peterson talks about how we need to clear away the clutter of the God-pretentious self and give control to Jesus. When we do this, it's hard. When we do this, it's sacrifice. We can imagine these guys stepping away from their fishing business. We can imagine what those who were working alongside might have felt about this. It's clear 100% commitment, and it's difficult. And yet the rewards of following Jesus are so great and so wonderful. I think in many ways our interns have exemplified this real commitment to Jesus Christ. And so, illustrating that with their lives today, I want to encourage each one of us, you and me, to be fully committed to Jesus. He says to us, "Come and follow me." How do we do this? How do we follow Jesus? How do we hear his call today and respond to it? One of the ways is through the spiritual disciplines. Again, I want to say a bit more than this today, but it's certainly a part of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's one of the things that we've emphasized much here at Cornerstone over the last 6 months. We see these spiritual disciplines in Jesus' life. He practiced silence and solitude. He engaged in mission and ministry as the Father directed him. And he spent time in worship with others. All of these things are spiritual disciplines. And we are called to practice spiritual disciplines also, not as an end in themselves, but to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. The two most obvious spiritual disciplines are prayer and Bible reading. And once again, I want to encourage that on a daily basis for you to read God's word and to pray. Make time for this. But especially this morning, I want to talk about the spiritual discipline of simplicity, which is something that Jesus very much practiced as well. He lived a simple life. And it's a profound truth that if we are going to grow closer to God, if we're going to follow Jesus more closely, we need to live more simple lives. I know there have been times in my life when, in terms of spiritual disciplines, in terms of Bible reading and prayer, the way that I've tried to do it is just to load on extra into an already busy life. And long term, that doesn't work. Long term, that's not Jesus' way for us. Talked about clearing away the clutter of the God-pretentious self. And sometimes we just need to clear away the clutter, full stop. We need to simplify. And there are ways that we can all do this, creating time and space for us to engage with our God. I'm convinced that this is something not just for those who are time rich, who might be wasting their time, but also for those who are time poor. We can create space, we can create time to engage with Jesus. One of the things that the interns, particularly Hannah in this case, has encouraged over the past year is the writings of John Mark Comer. My daughter first introduced me to him, but it's been the interns who've been really pressing his case. He's a great spiritual writer. And in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he brings forward a number of statistics that show us how we waste our time very often. Here is just one, that the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day on average. That's 2,617 times a day on average. I'm sure it's pretty much the same if you've got an Android phone. And it's not just younger people, it's older people who do this. I know that I spend a lot of time on my screens. I can't show you my phone because I'm recording on it at this moment. But we spend a lot of time on our phones, and some of that time could be much better employed in spending time with our Lord. Think about myself, think about the clothes that I have. The reality is that I tend to wear the same things over and over again. You might have noticed it. I've got my blue top on. I've got my sort of fawn-coloured trousers that I'm basically living in at the moment, cycling with another very similar pair. And you might think, wow, this guy's living really simply. He's got a small wardrobe. But actually, I've got a pretty big wardrobe, and I've got another wardrobe as well. And I've got a chest of drawers, and probably 70% of those clothes barely see the light of day. I've been thinking about simplifying, and I've been giving away some of these clothes to charity shops, and that's a good thing in terms of justice. But it would have been even better if I hadn't spent time buying these clothes in the first place, if I hadn't wasted money that could have been better spent on giving to God's work or giving to the poor. The time that I've wasted in shops that actually I've not really enjoyed, the time that I've spent online surfing the net, maybe making a purchase here and there. We all tend to waste our times. We all tend to accumulate clutter. And the challenge is to live more simply, firstly, as an issue of justice, and then secondly, as an issue of personal spirituality. Because if we're going to spend time with Jesus, if we're going to follow him more nearly and more dearly, if we are going to respond to the words of verse 19, a command, yes, but a gracious invitation also, come, follow me. If we're going to respond to those things in a wholehearted way, then we're going to need to live more simply, creating space, creating time, so that we can engage passionately and strongly with our Lord. I want to throw that out as a challenge to you today, as I throw it back to myself as a challenge. But I do want to say something more. How do we really follow Jesus practically? How can we be dusty with the dust of our rabbi, as people say? We can't see him physically. We can't follow close behind him physically. That glorious image of the dust kicking up off the road, off our rabbi's sandals and onto us. It's a wonderful image. It's a wonderful picture. But how do we do it? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is with us by the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not with us physically. How do we respond to this command, to this gracious, gracious invitation? Come, follow me. He, I think, comes from a great spiritual writer who passed into the Lord's presence just a few years ago, Dallas Willard. And he used to say this: when we're thinking about following Jesus, then we are to think about how Jesus would have lived our lives. So the question, how do we follow Jesus today? We can perhaps answer it with another question and ask ourselves, how would Jesus live my life today if he were me? Now notice that it's not that Jesus is living his life again. Let me try and put this as clearly as I can. Jesus has lived one life. He had a particular mission, and he's now with his Father in glory. So it's not like we're projecting ourselves back 2,000 years. Rather, we're thinking about how Jesus, who is present with us by the Holy Spirit, would live our lives if he were me. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus live in my particular situation, my own particular set of concrete circumstances? And I think that's just such a helpful question in opening up the way of Jesus to us, because it applies to whatever situation we're in. The interns have done something really significant, and they have taken a year of their lives to really throw themselves into the life of the church full time. They've discovered wonderful things. They've served in a myriad of different ways in church life. But we don't need to do that in order to follow Jesus' command. It may not be possible for you to give a year in that way. It may be that you have particular family responsibilities that you just couldn't walk away from. You need to pay the bills. You need to put bread on the table. You need to look after your children. You are looking after an elderly parent, perhaps. You cannot just drop everything and do something different. Sometimes God calls us to do that, and God called these four men in Matthew 4 to do that. They gave up what they were doing and they physically followed Jesus, and so they were responding to his command. But we can respond to that command and our outward circumstances not change. So it may be that you're in employment as a solicitor in retail. It may be that you're not in salaried employment, but you're a homemaker. Whatever it may be, insert your own trade, profession, occupation, what you do 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or in the evening, whatever it may be, insert your own circumstances and ask this question: how would Jesus live my life if he were me? Your particular circumstances in life. It may be that you are married. It may be that you're in a relationship but not married. It may be that you are single. It may be that you have children. It may be that you don't have children. Jesus lived as a single man, and as Son of Man and Son of God, there were no physical children. And so a particular set of circumstances for him. But if he were living in you and through you, as in a sense he is by the Holy Spirit, how would he live your life? If you're married, how might he relate to your partner? If you have children, how might he relate to them? How is he calling you to live your life? Not some other life, not even the life that he lived 2,000 years ago when he was on this earth, but how is he calling you to live your life right here, right now? And so really, I'm leaving us with a question to apply to our lives, a question to apply to our days. How would he live your life if he were you? That's a question that I've been asking myself over and over again in recent days, applying it to the specific things that I have to do. My life as a team leader in a church, as a line manager, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a family man, as someone who's in a new relationship. What would Jesus have me do? Not so much what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus do if he were me? This, I think, opens out to us the way of Jesus. And as we pray, and as we wrestle, and as we act, we will know more and more what it is to hear and respond to Jesus' gracious invitation, come and follow me. The interns have done this, and I know that they're going to continue to do this because God's hand is on them, on both of them. And it's interesting that they're taking different paths at this moment. Hannah is staying on to do Intern Plus, and I believe that there are some really exciting things in church-based ministry following on for her after that. Gideon is moving into the financial world, possibly even the world of high finance. And you might think that they're taking two very, very different paths. In a sense, they are, but both of them equally, 100%, are contexts for following Jesus, are contexts for hearing and responding to his gracious command, come and follow me. It's not that church work is better than financial work. It's not that being a children's worker or being a pastor or being a minister for missional discipleship, it's not that these things are up here and sort of finances down here. God needs people in all sorts of walks of life. God needs people who will be following his Lord Jesus passionately in a whole variety of ways. One is not better than the other. One is as equally important as the other. But the absolute key thing is that in whatever context we're in, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we respond to the call of the Lord Jesus, come and follow me. And we can do that as we yield our lives totally to him. We can do that as we practice the spiritual disciplines. And we can do that as we ask ourselves the question, how would Jesus live his life if he were me? How would Jesus live this life right now if he were me?
Thank you, Peter, for that word to clear away the clutter in our lives and make way for Jesus. Let us pause for a moment and lift up our world. Heavenly Father, we pray for the world in which you have called us to be a part. We pray for our neighbourhoods. We pray for our church and for our family and our friends, asking that we might be part of your good news, part of your love and life. And we say amen to these words of this prayer, a prayer for the Christian community. We are not people of fear. We are people of courage. We are not people who protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbour's safety. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving, wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. And so we finish with two songs of worship. I am in your hands, and Christ is enough.
I can't. have all been planned for me. Your way is best. I know I'm in your hands.
decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Peter and Andrew were called. They left their boats and they went on an adventure with Jesus. Hannah and Gideon, thank you for answering the call and going on an adventure with Jesus, which does not stop at the end of this internship. Each one of us is called to listen to his voice and to respond. We will not be disappointed, I'm sure. I want to say thank you to all those who've been involved in the service, but I also want to say a very special thank you to all those who have supported Gideon and Hannah through this year, those who've mentored and those who've prayed with them, those who've housed them and supported them. And a special thank you to Nathan Shipley, who was so instrumental in setting up the internship and running it through to Easter. Nathan was very much the rock of the program, and without him, it simply couldn't have happened. So thank you, Nathan, and bless you for all your hard work in making sure this was a great year for Hannah and Gid. Let us finish by saying the words of the grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.